you have, as a business owner, and it's my job to hire the best in the business, you know, talent matters, but I also want to work with people who are easy to work with and have the same approach to the day and value how the client feels and what the client wants, maybe even more than like what is in it for them. Like, you know, yes, we all want our weddings published and we all want the most beautiful pictures possible, but at the end of the day, the bride and her wedding day are the most important thing to us. And I think that there's photographers that really value that. And in return, we still get great photos. Right.
Welcome back, friends. This is your host, Virgil Bunnell. I'm a photographer and a business owner based here in Charleston, South Carolina. Today, my guest has been recognized by major magazines and publications as one of the best wedding planners in the world. She is one badass boss lady with a team of wonderful people. She's based in Birmingham, Alabama, but travels and designs and plans weddings all over the world. So I was blessed with the opportunity to work with her and her wonderful team here in Charleston this coming weekend. So I figured I would seize the opportunity and invite her to be a part of this podcast. So welcome to podcast. This is podcast Conversations Over Sweet Tea. I didn't really bring a sweet tea today, but that's okay. So here we are. Welcome, Neely Butler of Maria Me.
That's correct. Thanks, Virgil.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay.
You know, but I'm the only person that probably has a company in French and never taken one day of French in my life. So I think you're saying it. I think you're saying it great.
I hope I said your name right? Right.
Yes.
I think I spelled it right too. I try to make sure that
you
I got it right. How was your flight today?
It was so easy.
It was good.
Yeah, so easy. Birmingham, Atlanta, Atlanta, Charleston.
So that was just a couple hours.
Yeah, an hour, 2 1-hour flights. So
that's
easy.
That's awesome. So yeah. Did you guys rent a car? And
we rented a car, and then my little boy Bruce, the traveling wedding baby, goes with me everywhere.
That's awesome.
So we kind of have our thing, you know. We fly in. We've got the booster seat in tow and get the car, and we hit the ground running, got all the hotel gifts delivered, and he's in the pool. So
that's
kind of
awesome.
Our ritual.
Yeah, I watched your story. I think he was sitting on the end and you were sitting on the end.
Yes, we were on the aisle seats today, so we had to hold hands across the aisle.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
What was it just the two of you that flew from Birmingham?
No, his nanny goes with us as well everywhere, just to, so I can work while they explore the cities that Miami works in. And then Julia Dora, lead planner at our office, was also with me.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
So Bruce comes with you everywhere.
Everywhere.
And obviously the nanny.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah. So I work and he explores, and I think it makes me kind of feel like I'm balancing both work and motherhood at the same time a little bit. And then also just kind of giving him the opportunity to see the world. And maybe one day kind of look back on this whole thing and say, my mom worked really hard and I got to go see all these amazing places.
That's awesome.
So we'll see.
Are you planning?
Hopefully he'll turn out okay.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He's seeing all these things that you're doing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you planning on bringing him, like doing like homeschooling and things like that?
I'm not. I've got one more year. That's the $1 million question that everyone asks me. I could probably get that question every day of what are you going to do when he goes to school. And so he's in a 5K program, a really great school in Birmingham. And so his teachers have been wonderful because he usually, you know, misses school on Thursday, Friday.
Right.
Not every week, but a good bit. And it's been fine. Thankfully, he's a smart little kid and he's been fine. So we'll see what happens next year. How I'm going to juggle this. We'll see.
What are the places that you've brought him?
We've done California, Montana, Utah a couple times, North Carolina, Florida, New York, Tennessee, Georgia. He's going to Tuscany next year.
That's awesome.
He loves Texas.
Is that his favorite place?
Yeah, he loves Texas.
That's awesome. So, I understand you just flew in,
yeah.
Right? And you already hit the ground running, and What was your process today? You flew in, got the rental car, and then went to hotels?
So typically we ship everything like to whatever destination we're going, because we do all of our own graphic design and in-house paper design, which then end up leading into merchandise and hotel gifts and packaging and all of the pretty stuff. So we do all of that in-house with our graphic design team, and so typically that's what we do. But today was a little different in that our bride and her mom really took a lot of pride in making her own gifts, and putting that personal touch on it, that they really just enjoyed the process together. So they did that. So when we got here today, we ran out to her beach house and grabbed all the bags and delivered them for her. And then we'll have a little downtime this evening, tonight, and kind of be able to go over stuff. So
that's cool. I know Kristen Sweeting interviewed you for her podcast. Yep. That was really awesome.
Great.
I think I listened to it like 3-4 times just to prepare for this. I wanted to kind of, I don't want to replicate what y'all talked about in that podcast. And really, I wanted to give our listeners more value. Not that it wasn't any value, but you guys discussed a lot of like your background and things like that. I kind of wanted to discuss something about photographers and ask you a lot of questions that photographers out there might be looking for. And so if you're listening, if y'all are interested, Neely Butler has a Instagram account, and also Maria Mee has an Instagram account. So if y'all want to follow along, check out her website and her Instagram account while you're listening to this podcast. But anyway, if you want to listen to that podcast with Kristen Sweeting, she's a good friend of mine. It's called Porchcast. If you want to look it up on your iTunes or your podcast app, Neely gave a lot of great insight in the podcast that I think y'all would love. So for those that haven't listened to it, can you give us a little brief info on Maria Mee and how is Maria Mee is so well recognized as one of the best in the world?
Yeah. I started Maria Mee off in about 2009 and just kind of with a dream of doing a few weddings. And, you know, one wedding led to another wedding, and it just started to grow, and it was all based on referral, and it was mostly all local weddings from my hometown of Mountain Brook, Alabama, which is a great little town that has beautiful, beautiful weddings. And so, and there was no other real wedding planner at that time. And then as it grew, I slowly but surely kind of started getting a team of people together. I had my first hire, and then my second hire was a graphic designer. And so I then kind of realized if I want to make this into something like a company, or do I want this to be Neely Butler, the wedding planner? And so I decided that I wanted Maria Mee, the wedding planning company. I didn't want it to be the Neely Butler show. I wanted to build something that, you know, was a little thicker than just me, I guess is the right way to say. And so, the business grew, the clients were coming in, the weddings were getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And, with every probably, you know, 6 months to a year, I found myself needing another person. But what was really awesome about it was, the talented person would come to me and ask for a job, and I felt like it was the right person and the right fit, I just decided to hire them, even if I didn't necessarily have the work. Or, you know, I always worry about, do I have the money to hire somebody? I think that's the biggest thing that people ask me is like, how in the world do you
sustain it?
Payroll, you know, payroll.
How many people do you have now?
There's 8 of us total.
Wow.
And they're all full-time, and they've been with me for years now.
So you have eight, you don't have 8 planners under you?
No, we have 4 total planners, 2 graphic designers, an office manager, and a production manager.
Wow.
And then we have our own lighting and drapery division of the company. So that production manager manages a crew of hourly employees. And then our graphic designers is kind of our paper side of the company. And then we have the planning side.
Cool.
And so it just grew, and I feel like one wedding took us to their, you know, second home, and we threw a lovely wedding, and I think that really opened the doors for Destination, and it kind of got our name out outside of Alabama per se, and then people started realizing, oh wait, I can take Marie and me to my second home. And so we started working for a lot of Birmingham people at their, you know, whether it be their beach house, their mountain house, their farm, or whatever mountain house, you know, out west. And then once we kind of started establishing these relationships in these other parts of the country, then we started then getting clients that weren't from Birmingham. And so a lot of our clients now are not from Birmingham. They're from, you know, all over the country, and they're hiring us to whether it's in their hometown or a destination for them. And we've just been really blessed that it just keeps getting bigger and better every
day. That's awesome.
Day.
Yeah. So is there any given weekend where all five of you, so there's four planners and you,
mm-hmm.
is there any given weekend where all five of you have a wedding?
No, we would never do that. So we take a lot of pride. I think one of the biggest things is that I'm not trying to be a company that plans, you know, hundreds of weddings. You know, a lot like the planners ahead of me that are so good, the Lynn Eastons of the world, the Tar Gerards of the world, they're doing really high end intense work, and you'll hear them say, well, I do 14 a year or whatever it is. And we do a little bit more than that. We do about 30, 35 a year. We were definitely years that we did 50 and 60, and I've quickly realized that I was going to live a short life if I kept that up.
Yeah.
So we will only do two a weekend, and it really depends on what two we would do that weekend. So if they're two in Birmingham or two, you know, great weddings that are easily managed, then absolutely we can do two because there's eight of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we do a very high-end wedding or, you know, big luxury wedding in Montana, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do another wedding.
Right.
So it kind of depends. We just watch our calendar and just pull.
Is that when you bring two planners with you if it's a big wedding?
Yeah, if it's a big wedding, the whole team will go.
All four and
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Oh, so, wow. We had a wedding recently that all eight of us went. You know, it's just because yeah. it depends on how big they are. And if the client needs us all there to do the best work that we can be or mm-hmm. that we can do, then we'll all go. And what's nice is that no one that's on my team is an assistant. No one, you know, it's not like I'm hiring new help to help me on a wedding weekend. They're all so knowledgeable of the bride. They know the bride's family from start to finish. And, you know, Marie Amie means bride's friend in French. And I would say the very most important thing is that we're friends with our clients, and our clients get to know us. And so there's never a situation where a bride walks into, you know, a room and looks at my staff and is like, I wonder who these people are. The bride knows everyone on my team. So
right.
I think it's just kind of a nice touch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what makes Marie Amie one of the best?
You know, we will do whatever it takes. It's very simple, and it kind of sounds a little childish almost, but you would do anything for your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we value this relationship on such a personal level that these brides are our best friends, and there's literally, you know, we will do anything for them. And it just so happens that we're really good at our job too.
Right.
And I have a lot of talent on my team. And so I think that the relationship, and that we don't take ourselves so seriously, that, you know, I think we're very approachable. I think, you know, one of my biggest things is you always check your ego at the door. There's always somebody better than you. So just putting our heads down and doing the very best that we can do on a personal level, and delivering top-notch service for our guests and for our clients, I think is kind of what sets us apart.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So I want to switch gear a little
yeah.
bit about photography.
Great.
Photographers in general, and you've seen, I'm sure you've met a lot of photographers,
mm-hmm.
and you have done so many weddings
right.
that I feel like, I mean, you are an expert in guiding your clients into hiring the best photographer for your clients. So kind of want to go through this. I have
yeah.
like a list of them. So tell us, my first question is, tell us the ideal photographer that you and your peers love working with.
You know, I keep going back to this whole personal thing and friendship, but like, I love to work with my friends. And so when I get to know a photographer, whether it be at the Engage conference or on a wedding, and they open up to me and we open up to them and we work together to do the best that we can do or deliver the best product that we can deliver, then you kind of like bond. Mm-hmm. And so I like to work with my friends. So I like to, you know, obviously if a bride says, okay, who should I hire? I kind of have my short list of these are people that, you know, I enjoy working with, but I enjoy people that don't always have the talent that I need to have. And so, you know, you have to, as a business owner and at my job to hire the best in the business, you know, talent matters, but I also want to work with people who are easy to work with and have the same approach to the day mm-hmm. and value how the client feels and what the client wants, maybe even more than like what is in it for them. Like, you know, yes, we all want our weddings published and we all want the most beautiful pictures possible, but at the end of the day, the bride and her wedding day are the most important thing to us. And I think there's photographers that really value that. And in return, we still get great photos.
Right. Right. So I'm going real basic here. Yeah. So probably photographers that return emails.
Yes. Yes. Very much like, so. And they're easy to get in touch with.
Easy to get in touch with.
I also love the photographers that don't take their part, like think their part is just one piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
Like I'm dealing with 1,000 pieces of the puzzle. And they're only worrying about one piece.
One thing.
And so, you know, the photographers that are make it harder than it needs to be, honestly, they kind of drive me crazy.
It's tough. It's
yeah,
tough.
I'm just like, quit calling me.
The
quit,
divas.
Yeah, quit emailing. Like, why are we making this so difficult? Let's talk. Let's make a timeline. Let me tell you about the family. If you want to talk to the bride, great. But that doesn't have to be hard, and we don't have to meet a million times. We don't have to talk a million times. And then we don't need to fill out 14,000 surveys.
Right.
You know, so I think that making it an easy process is
just so basically that person yeah. needs to just make sure that they really deploy empathy, because you are. I was talking to a friend about this. It's like, I don't know how y'all do it, because you're juggling so like on a given wedding, at least 8 vendors.
Oh, absolutely.
At least
8 vendors that each have, you know,
needs
and wants and desires. And then there's about, you know, every single solitary detail that, like, if your client said, hey, it's important to me that I get a picture in front of the tree, and she told you that 8.5 months ago on a whim in a text message, mm-hmm. it's my job to remember that she said that.
Yes.
She might not have ever said it again.
Right.
But on the wedding day, those are the tiny little things that are in my head. Oh, yeah, you know, we've got to get that picture. Well, I've had notes on it.
Right.
But it's the tiny little things that make the day run completely smooth and, you know, and that we remember all of that and we get it all done so that there's no regrets. I don't want to ever want a bride to say, gosh, you know, I forgot. I told you that I wanted to get a picture in front of a tree.
Yeah.
But I text messaged you 9 months ago and I don't blame you for forgetting. I don't want to ever get that.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into all the tiny little details that if the photographer could just, you know, make his part real easy.
Yeah, absolutely. So does it matter? Obviously it matters. I'm going real basic yeah. again. Of course, they have to work with you and your top notch team. Right. They have to have experience.
Yes. So I mean, we're delivering very high end luxury weddings at this point, and
right.
you know, we're managing a lot of money, a lot of details, and very very high expectations. And honestly, the closest thing to perfect, I think, in anything today's world.
Yeah.
You know, they brides right. expect perfection on their wedding day.
Always.
And when they hire a firm like Miami, that's what they're paying for. They want perfection. And, you know, I carry that on my back every
yeah.
day. And I love the pressure. But yeah, the photographers, you know, they have to be talented.
Right.
They've got to know what they're doing. They've got to be experienced.
They've got to be seasoned.
Yeah,
already.
They have to be seasoned, because things come up and things change on a wedding day. And I think you and I were talking about this earlier today,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, when you have a very talented photographer and a really talented wedding planner, both with great experience, they've pretty much seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it does rain, or if the mother is 15 minutes late, or the dress does rip, you know, we've seen it all before,
right.
and we can roll with it and we can adjust, and it doesn't ruffle the whole day.
Right.
It doesn't mess anything up.
Just be able to adjust and
yeah,
adapt.
Because it's like, oh, I've done that before. It's fine.
Does a big following matter to you? Like, if that photographer has a small following versus a big following, and then what's a big following? I mean, this is all vanity, you know, metrics.
But right. It's so frustrating these days. You know, when I'm building my business from Birmingham, Alabama, and I am, yes, I mean, I would be lying if I didn't tell you, I am now building a nationally recognized brand. That's what I do every day, and that's what I want. So the world of Instagram and followers is the lifeline of building a brand today, and you're fully responsible for that, and building your brand and putting images out there that attract the client that you want. And so when I get to know a photographer at Engage or again wherever, and they have a really high following and they're interested in my work and I'm interested in their work, then when they talk about me on their Instagram or they brag about our services or about our weddings, then yeah, it helps because it just puts my name out there. So it's not to say that it's that I don't look at it, because I do look at it.
Right.
But there's also a lot of photographers out there that could be really have a lot of followers, and I don't, but they're not really maybe have the best personality or try the hardest, or they now have all these followers and they don't think they have to work as hard, or they're not as eager to please. And I think that's almost a disservice.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that fine line.
Yeah. So it's definitely looked at, but it's not,
I mean, it's looked at, but I'm not
going to,
it's not a deal breaker. You know, there are some really great photographers that have a ton of followers because they're really great photographers,
right.
You know? And
right.
So that to me is one thing, but it just depends.
What are the key things that photographers in this era, you know, within the last couple of years, who are looking into breaking into the luxury wedding industry, what do they need to know about or should be working on or should be aware of?
I think that one of the biggest things that I see is that you've got these really high-priced photographers. I mean, like, really expensive. And I totally value their work and would pay them that all day long if I could. But these brides have never done this before. And even though their mom or dad or themselves have the money to pay for these high-priced photographers, they still get, like, severe sticker shock.
Yeah.
And they're like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. You want me to pay you $20,000 for a photographer for one day? And honestly, that's not the life I live. And so it's always even still, it's not, it doesn't ever get easier for me to try and sell a really high priced vendor. I'm the first one to, you know, say why that photographer deserves it. But even these high-end luxury weddings that they're spending $500 to $1 million on the weddings, they still get individual sticker shock.
They still question that.
Yeah, they still question it. And I've had some really awesome weddings that are beautiful in any photographer's dream to shoot.
Yeah.
And that client's just like, Neely, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, let me pay 10, let me pay 12.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
I'm just not paying 20.
Yeah.
And I hate it because I think that the higher priced photographer probably would have done a better job and enjoyed it more, but they missed out because it was too expensive.
I think I had this conversation with Tara. I think it was right after our podcast, and her clients were the same. I mean, they're like, even though they're wealthy, they're like, why would I pay 25 where I've been following this guy or this girl for, you know, for a while and they charge 8, 9, 10, 12.
Right. Right.
What's the difference?
And they don't care because we're looking, you know, we're the photographers that are charging that really high end dollar are usually the ones that we've all been watching for years and admire and all those good things. And they've earned their price point.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get, you know, giddy to work with them or giddy to use them.
Right.
But you've got to remember this bride's only been doing this for like 3 weeks before we were like trying to hire her photographer. And she's like, I don't know that person or that name, but my friend used so-and-so. Well, her friend isn't as wealthy as she is. And her friend loved her picture. So she's like, well, I'll just hire who my friend used.
Right. And she was a bridesmaid at that
and
wedding.
And she was a bridesmaid in the wedding. And the photographer was so nice and all those kinds of things. And, you know, you can't blame them, but.
That was actually my other question where. I'm glad you brought that price up. Like, what's the difference between a $20,000 photographer versus the $10,000 and $12,000? Do you know? Can you tell?
Sometimes you can tell. with experience sometimes, mm-hmm. because again, usually the ones with the higher price tag have maybe been doing this longer or gotten more experience, or maybe they haven't been doing it longer. They just got lucky right off the bat. But they've been there. Once you've worked a luxury wedding and you see how it all is done, even if you've only done it once, mm-hmm. that's more than the person that's charging 10 who's never done a luxury big wedding, right. you know? So, but we have some photographers that we have on our list because, you know, our budgets are very broad. Mm-hmm. We have a minimum, but we also still love to work for locals and, you know, our local weddings. And so we have a list of photographers that are less expensive, and honestly, their work is fabulous. Yeah. And we get published with them and we put them on our Instagram,
and your clients are happy.
And our clients are happy and they're happy. And it's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of depends.
What kind of trends are you seeing out there in terms of what brides are choosing when it comes to photography? I know there's like the moody look, you mm-hmm. know, like the people in the West Coast or mm-hmm. Northwest Coast. And some people are really into the film, bright and airy.
Yeah. Since we're technically a Southern wedding planner, mm-hmm. Our clients are very classic. They're light and airy and they love film. They don't understand film. They don't know anything about film. They've just been told to like film. Mm-hmm. Now, when you put two pictures in front of them,
they don't know the difference.
They don't, but they're always going to go to the light and airy film looking. I mean, they usually gravitate towards film. But then I feel like sometimes when it comes down to the process with film and you're working with a photographer that shoots only film, the bride then starts kind of asking them to do things that doesn't really work for film.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then they kind of are looking at, well, why won't the photographer do this? Well, I don't understand. You know, we want you to do a first look because the sun goes down at 5 o'clock and film really only looks really awesome during the day. And she's like, wait, what? No, I don't want that. I want to wait and not see him until after. And I don't care if it's dark, but they, you know, so you have to educate them on the front end,
right.
because while they do want it, what's more important to them is how their day is going to flow.
Right.
And so sometimes that film, all film photographer, maybe not the best choice for her, because we know that the sun goes down at 5 and, you know, and all of her pictures are going to be in the dark.
Yes, especially during the winter.
Yes,
and
that we've had
a ceremony, and
yeah, and
it
happens
a
lot. And they also, I think, the trend is this whole sneak peek. They hate waiting,
right,
for 3 months for their wedding pictures. And I think that a few photographers have figured out how to give a sneak peek, and it's like the next day. And honestly, I think it's brilliant.
Right,
and the bride is happy. She has 15 images from the day that are all fantastic, and she never, I really honestly think that she forgets that she has another 200 images coming her way because she's got the 15 that like satisfies her.
Right.
And so then I feel like it lets the photographer off the hook a little bit and lets them have more time to develop it and do all that they need to do. So the whole sneak peek thing is definitely a trend and definitely things that I think the brides want and I personally love from a planner standpoint. But I recently was just talking to a film photographer and she was asking me about that. And she said it was virtually impossible because she's an all film photographer and she doesn't want digital images out on social media because it's not truly what she does. Now she said, I can take great digital images and I can send them, but that's not what I want on Instagram. And I hear her and I understand that. But I think the bride doesn't care that.
The
market doesn't care about that.
Does not. Mm-mm. And especially now with instant gratification and mm-hmm. Instagram.
Everybody
and
wants everything right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing definitely. I know we're doing it within our own. I think we discussed this when we had a phone conference. And we have a strategy leading up to a wedding. Because I shoot film as well. And there's some film images that it'll just have to wait because it takes 6 weeks to develop.
Yeah.
And the digital images, you just have to figure it out because that's what the market dictates, mm-hmm. you know, what
and
needs to be done.
I think that, you know, obviously if we get a few little sneak peeks, then we'll use them on our Instagram and, mm-hmm. you know, use the momentum behind the wedding because it's good for both the photographer and for us and for the bride's friends love watching it and following along. We want pretty images on our website and on right. our Instagram, but, you know, once we get the film in from our film photographers, it's like Christmas for me, and I right. go through every single one and I love them and appreciate them. So there's not anything to be lost on the film.
With that question, how important is photography for you and your team and your business? You mentioned mm-hmm. that you use it for your website. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
For
I mean, that's the only way we can show what we did today. You know, we work so hard on these weddings and there's no way to show the hours and the sweat and the tears that we pour into every wedding. The only way we can show it is by the end product and the images that you guys produce for us. And so it's very important to us. We don't want to do everything for the photo, but it's kind of like your trophy, you know, right. when it's all said and done and kind of getting it back and being able to watch and relive it. It's very important to us. And, you know, and that's how we get our business. Every wedding is a referral from some sort of social media outlet or a friend or our website. Right. So,
what happens when a bride hires, she has a pretty big budget. I don't know if you've been mm-hmm. in this situation before and she hires her own photographer. What happens if you're not, that the aesthetic of that photographer does not fit your brand?
Oh, Virgil, it's terrible.
Isn't that terrible?
It's terrible. It really is. And what do you do? Because, again, remember at the beginning of this, I said at the end of the day, it's about the bride and what she wants.
Right.
So we've had that happen, and it was probably one of the prettiest weddings we have ever done, and it very well could be that we ever do. And
the bride directly hired a photographer.
And I knew immediately that it was not a photographer that had the skills or the talent or the experience that we needed. And I think that anyone else in my shoes probably would have hired our own photographer to come in and take images, at least details, on my own.
Did you?
No, I didn't end up doing it. I ended up calling a really well-known photographer and asking her what she thought about it and just said, hey, I've never been in this situation before. What do I do? I'm afraid I'm not going to have the images from the weekend. Could I hire you to come on board? And she said, of course she would do it. But then you get into this sticky situation of showing up with another photographer. Well, the client's she wouldn't be able to take pictures of the client because the client's like, well, that's not my photographer. And right. then it would insult this local photographer.
Right.
And then, okay, well, if I had her just come behind the scenes and just do the details, well, you can't really submit a wedding without a bride.
Right.
You know, so it became very, like, almost, it was more important. Relationships are always more important to me. I feel like if I do what's right, I will always win. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it wasn't right to hire another photographer, and so I didn't. And sure enough, I don't have the images that I need.
That you needed.
Mm-hmm. at all. And the design firm that literally worked in this person's house for over a month to build this wedding doesn't have the images either. And it's sad. And we're all.
So you ended up not hiring the other girl.
No, we didn't. I just didn't think it was right. I just didn't think it was the right thing to do. And now I think lesson learned. Because it indeed what happened was what I thought was going to happen. I think I would go back and I would hire somebody to at least get our hard work from the decor
mm-hmm.
and with submissions being so weird these days anyway.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of non-existent anymore
right.
that, I would have at least had the images to use in different ways.
To market it.
And so I probably would do that if it happened again, but I would never, ever insult the bride.
Right.
Because it probably is a relationship between the bride and that vendor. I would never come in between a bride and a long-time relationship.
Yeah. And not only that, I think, I'm sure you read photographers' contracts. I know for me, I have an exclusive
mm-hmm.
contract.
Of the wedding.
Like, yeah, as far as there are no other photographers
right.
that will be there. If there will be, there has to be a conversation with me.
Right.
And then, but But hopefully I don't run into some issues like
no
that.
No one's going to do that to you. No one's doing that to you.
We try to give them everything that they need.
And that's what I mean by you just have to, you got to follow by the rules. You got to treat people well.
Yes.
And if at the end of the day, the worst, if I'm the one that doesn't come out with what I want, then that's.
I was discussing with this friend. I said, you know what? Time will come when we don't deliver. I look at weddings with five different clients. Mm-hmm. The bride, the brothers, the bride's mom. Mm-hmm. Those are number two. Mm-hmm. Three would be probably the bridesmaids, and then mother, the groom, and the planner is somewhere up there in the top five. Mm-hmm. Like you have to make sure that they're happy as a photographer.
Yeah.
If you don't, then something's going to happen in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't do everything that you need to do to keep the planners happy, they're going to bring their own photographers.
Right.
You know, because they can easily hire someone for, I don't know, $300 an hour, maybe more, and shoot their own decor. And then you're going to be kind of out of luck, you know, and especially when with these big weddings.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a friend of mine about that. And I think we're seeing it. Sometimes we'll see it with caterers or florists. I've seen it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care. I knew they were just doing it for their own portfolio. Mm-hmm. But because I know some photographers are like, you know what? We're not going to shoot decor. We don't shoot decor. We're not good at it. You know?
But then you're not going to get hired again.
You're not going to get hired again. You're not going to get referrals.
Yeah.
So that's huge, you know? Mm-hmm. While we're on that subject, so what happens when a bride says, you know, I like this photographer, and you're like, I don't know. Do you like dissuade them? Do you kind of?
So in our first planning meeting, we talk big picture. We talk about her vision for the day. We talk about budget. We talk about kind of timeline, just generally speaking, like how do you think, you know, from A to B, and just big picture. We try and look at kind of what her vision is for decor and things like that, because from that meeting, that's when we want to hire her vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And we hire vendors based on style, personality, and budget. We're not locked into any particular vendors. We never get kickbacks. We would never take a kickback from anyone. It's really who's the best fit for our client. And one of my questions I always ask is, are there any vendors that you want to work with or that you know you want to work with? But I ask that in the interview process, because when they're interviewing me, I'm also interviewing them. And not every bride is our fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that her wedding won't be great, but I don't want, if she has a list of vendors that she wants to hire and none of the vendors are maybe up to the standards that we usually work with, then that bride's probably not a best fit for us, and she can go hire another planner and be great and wonderful.
Right.
So in that process, if she says, you know, I really want to hire this such and such photographer, if it's during the interview process and she says, I'm just thinking about it, then I usually can say, oh, yes, you know, I've heard of them, or I can, if I have a personal experience on why I don't want to work with that person or they didn't do a good job for me, then I would very professionally steer them in a different direction. I would never talk bad about someone because you never know if they would, you know, if that client's going to leave and say something. So I would never do anything bad, but you do try and steer them in another direction. But if they've already, sometimes they've hired the photographer and then they come and hire me.
Yeah.
And if it's still a great wedding and she's still open to a bunch of different vendors and she's just so happened to hire a photographer that I've never heard of, then I just cross my fingers and hope for the best.
It's one of those case to case thing, I guess. Yeah. You know, you cross the bridge when you get there.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers, and you know.
Yeah.
So.
What about some discussions that arise during client meetings with regards to choosing a photographer? Mm-hmm. What are the common things that you would remember?
You know, I think the first thing I want to say, you know, have you thought about a photographer? They say, no, but I really, you know, I don't want somebody that is going to do all the posed pictures. I want, you know, and they keep trying to tell me, but they don't really know how to like articulate what they're trying to say. And then I then say, oh, you want a journalistic approach to your day. And they're like, yes, yes, that's what I want. Like, you don't want, like, everything to be completely styled and completely staged. And she's like, yes, no, I do not want that. I don't want every single thing like that. And I then respond with, great, that's how I like my day, too. And all the photographers that we recommend approach it from a journalistic viewpoint. They're capturing your day. Yes, we're going to style some things because we don't want we don't want a bad, you know, image or like something in the background or,
right.
you know, we're going to make your images pretty. That's how you get good photography, but you're not going to feel like you're on a photo shoot
right.
all day long.
Right.
And that's usually how the conversation goes. But they all of our clients want that relaxed feel. We very, very rarely have the all about me Brad, the glitzy, glammy Brad. We don't, that's just not who we are.
Right.
And so I don't think we attract that Brad.
Yeah.
So most of the time it is a beautiful girl sitting there with her mom and they just want a sweet, fun photographer that is talented that will capture their day.
So do you obviously then match them with the best fit?
I do.
Personality wise, mm-hmm. if they're quiet, I mean, how do you match that?
So I usually from that meeting, I feel like pretty much everybody on my quote short list of who I use is a lot. I have a lot of similarities,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, they have different personalities. So you may have a photographer that's like, you know, really fast paced and you may have one that's really funny. You may have a really quiet female photographer. And depending on the bride, I usually try and match the personality. And then I also immediately go to budget. So because our photographers have a wide range of budgets.
Right.
And so then I'm like, okay, well, they're really more a good fit for these three. And then I send the link to the bride, whether it be y'all's website, your packaging information or Instagram or whatever, so that she can make her own decision. I very, very rarely say you have to hire. I never have said you have to hire anybody. I have said, oh, Virgil is the best fit for you. You will love him. You're hands down the best bride for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would strongly consider him. But I'm still going to let her make that final decision.
Because some planners have their own almost exclusive
yes.
person.
Uh-huh.
So you're like, you're allowing them to make that decision.
You make your own decision. I mean, there's days that I wish I had my own exclusive. Like I only work with these designers. I only work with these mm-hmm. photographers because that's a guarantee that my wedding's going to be perfect.
Right. And consistent.
But And a lot of clients hire me because they want that. And that's the best client because they sit there and they say, we're hiring Maria Mee because we want a Maria Mee wedding. How do I get a Maria Mee wedding? Okay, well, let me tell you. You hire this person, this person, this person. These are the best people for you. And usually they're like, okay, you think I should hire them? Great. But
it's not a perfect.
It's not like that every time. And I just feel like the wedding is such a personal thing. They only do it one time. They want to have, you know, that person, maybe that client wants to have her hands in it and control over it. And
there are other variables like budget, availability.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I feel like the client getting to choose who they want ultimately gives them a little bit of control so that if I give them a little bit of control in return, they'll let me have control in the areas that I need the control.
Yeah.
So.
Your clients are from obviously all over the mm-hmm. world. Are they big on keeping photographers local or are they flying in?
You know, that's a great question. I was, they are not, thankfully with a photographer, I usually sell it as it's only two people. So if we have to fly somebody in, it's not the end of the world. It's not like bringing in a massive design team in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a photographer is pretty easy to transport. If we're coming to a city like Charleston, no, I'm not going to bring a photographer in,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Atlanta, New York. I mean, there's great, if there's talent in the area, then I'm going to try and pull from the talent in the area or at least talent from close within. Unless, you know, there's a specific photographer that client has been watching and he happens to live in Atlanta and the wedding is in Charlotte, then yes, we're going to bring him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing when we do international work, I've learned that one of the hardest wedding days was when, you know, you had the language barrier between the client, the planner, and the photographer. Because the photographer's with you all day long and you got to be able to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so for our wedding coming up in Tuscany, we have not hired the vendors yet. And I'm gonna encourage them to let's look at somebody stateside
mm-hmm.
that I already know and know well, because when you're in a foreign country, you already have so many things working against you that if I can at least have the photographer,
yeah,
you know, be able to run the wedding day the exact way I run a wedding day here. It just makes things a whole lot easier.
Is the bride from the States?
No. Yes, she is. She's from Birmingham, actually. So.
Yeah, well, there's also, I mean, if you hire somebody there, I mean, looking at the contract or the agreement, I mean, if you have a foreign photographer and the accountability after the wedding, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, not that you're going to sue someone, but it's hard to go after that person if they're from a different country.
You know, international weddings are just hard in general, just hard. Because mm-hmm. you've also got, okay, well, fine. If you bring somebody from here, you've also got the whole bringing all of your equipment over, mm-hmm. you know, back and forth. It's just a harder thing. But I just, for some reason, I felt like the last wedding that we did, I would probably pick somebody stateside to go with me.
So. Yeah. Have you been in a situation where you had to terminate a contract per client request because they realized it wasn't a fit after an engagement session or a bridal portrait session?
I have.
Tell us about that.
The bride hired a photographer before she hired us, and I knew the photographer. I really liked the photographer. And I think that the bride, you know, she had a great budget and she had a great wedding. And I think she had sticker shock, honestly, when she first started planning, and she didn't have a planner to kind of like talk her through it. And so she was looking at somebody, less expensive, you know, then what's the most expensive, less, you know, what I'm trying to say is what's the cheapest option,
right?
That still had some talent. And so once we got pretty far into the planning process, the bride called one day and she said, I think I've made a mistake. I've been watching this photographer online and I don't think I made the right choice for now the wedding that I'm having. And I talked to her, tried to talk her into keeping the photographer because I really liked the photographer. But at the end of the day, I don't ever want the client to ever come back to me and say, I tried to get a new photographer and you talked me out of it and now I really regret it, you know? Mm-hmm. So we talked it through and all of her reasonings I could see. Mm-hmm. And so I just called the photographer and I'm honest and just said, hey, listen, you know, she just has been watching on Instagram. She doesn't think she's a good fit and, you know, keep your deposit and we're going to go other way.
And how was that? It was pretty smooth, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was smooth. I just have found if you are, I'm pretty blunt, Virgil.
Yeah.
I'm real blunt, actually. But I try and be really kind about it. And so I feel like if you always stay professional and take the emotional out of it, one thing I do not do is drama ever. That's a no-no for me. So I think I just picked up the phone and called her. And I think she appreciated it.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's not, if anybody feels like it's not a good fit, then ultimately it probably isn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. And then nobody wants that on the back end either.
And I think also a lot of times they would know already after the shoot.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think they will be blindsided. I don't think.
Yeah.
So
we moved on. We got a different photographer and he did a great job and the client was happy and everybody was happy. Yeah, it's good.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What, I've got a couple of questions left. For the future brides out there, do you have any advice on how to best choose their photographer?
If you have the luxury of, you know, either knowing you're getting engaged or kind of coming down the pipeline, I mean, I'm watching photographers for their personality on Instagram mm-hmm. as much as the work they post, because there's two sides of this. You got to spend all day with this photographer. And if they're obnoxious on Instagram, they're probably obnoxious at your wedding. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're all about me on Instagram, they're probably all about me at the wedding. And so, you know, kind of if you have a chance to watch, if not, trust your planner. Let your planner help you choose the best fit for you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of girls have no clue. And they'll say that, you know, I have no idea who to hire. Okay, well, let me help you. Let me tell you who to hire. You know, the planners aren't going to lead you wrong.
Yeah. Well, especially now with the internet, it's so easy to come up with a very nice website with beautiful images that are from styled shoots.
And it can be very tricky. It
could be very tricky, yeah.
And you know, the world of Pinterest and the world of styled shoots, everything looks perfect. And, you know, it's not always perfect. And so I feel like you're also looking at somebody's very best work from 25 different weddings rather than seeing someone's whole gallery on how they capture the day. So maybe looking at a photographer's entire gallery of one wedding that shows how they documented the day and what images you can expect to receive from them, and try and kind of put yourself in that gallery, and can you see yourself, you know, happy with those images, I think is also a good thing. So, you know, just kind of knowing the work. You know, this is kind of a side comment, but, you know, your wedding day for a bride, there's a lot of preparation that kind of has to go into it. You know, you want to look your best self and you want to feel your best self. And whether that's, you know, exercise or eating right or just being in the right headspace, if anything. Because if you're not, it shows in your images. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting a picture back and looking at yourself and feeling like, oh, I look fat, or my dress didn't fit properly, or I didn't like my hair, or I was unhappy with my skin, or whatever, is sad, because they, for 10 months, they've been playing this fairy tale in their head of all these amazing, beautiful brides that Virgil has shot, and she's studying your website and your Instagram and picturing herself as one of those girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so important to, like, live intentionally. I think we should all live intentionally every day anyway. At least we try to, at least. It's hard for me, but but you know what I mean? Like, yes, it's your wedding day, right? And you can't put, the photographer's not going to make you look like a supermodel.
No.
He's just not. I don't care how good they are. And so I feel like it's, you know, I try and educate brides on, you know, feel your best, be your best self on your wedding day.
Well, it's hard also because of Pinterest and Instagram and, you know, this, their access to information.
Yeah.
And it just puts them in a different mindset. If they can't control it, you have to be able to control your thoughts on that side and manage the expectations.
Yes.
Because you're looking at the highlights.
Yes.
When you look, especially when you're looking at Pinterest and Instagram, mm-hmm. you're looking at the highlights. You're not necessarily looking at what it took to, you're looking at 20 weddings maybe, or 30 weddings.
Right.
You know?
Managing expectations. My husband's a lawyer, and he, one day years ago, he said, you know, the best piece of advice I can ever give you is you're in the job of managing your client's expectations every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they going to get for a dollar? What are they going to see when they walk in the room?
Right.
What are they going to feel? What are they going to eat? Because if it's not what's in their head, even though it's fabulous, it's going to be wrong.
There'll be a disconnect.
So, Maria, me, I mean, if I have taught my team anything, communication and education all day long. Pick up the phone and call that client. If you don't think they understand, tell them again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them again and again and again until they understand. So with photography or with anything, you know, just talking through, like, this is what you can expect. You know, I hear you and I'm listening to you, and I'm afraid you have a different vision than what's really going to happen this mm-hmm. day. And being that planner and being able to hear that tone of voice or hear that conversation and being able to pick up on the little pieces that big red flag, hey, this client has the wrong expectation for the day. You know, helps with, you know, I usually try and have my own private conversation with the photographers ahead of time and tell you, hey, listen, she and her mom don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
She's envisioning this, like, cool summer breezy day in Charleston, South Carolina in August. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Not that my bride this weekend thinks that, but you know what I mean? There's just things that I try and prepare the photographers as much as possible with all the behind the scenes information so that you together we can deliver and reach those expectations.
Lately, it's been, for me, it's been, I don't really have a very good relationship with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just make this first look with dad quick.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Okay, yeah. How's this going to work?
Yes. It's like, do you really want to do it? Or do you care? It's like, actually, let's not do it.
Yeah,
so, like,
exactly.
It's like, good. That's good. One less thing off the list.
Exactly.
You know? What about for photographers? What kind of advice? You mentioned, hey, you know, maybe level up. Maybe if you're obnoxious on Instagram, you mentioned something about that. What advice can you give photographers as far as their work, booking luxury weddings, their social media presence? What comes out?
There's a lot of you.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of photographers. And it kind of overwhelms me sometimes thinking about it because there's so much talent out there too.
It's a lot.
I guess you're going to have to figure out how can you differentiate?
Differentiate.
Yeah, thank you. that was that sixth grade English class I didn't take. you're going to have to make yourself stand out. And I would say stand out in a positive way. And then, being kind and doing the right thing and putting yourself out there in the right way and in the right light and really telling your story and your authentic, like who you really are, you will get work. Yeah. You will attract the right bride that is for you, but trying to be somebody that you're not and constantly just like hitting the pavement to find that business, I just think is not going to at the end of the day end well. I've got a photographer that I hire all the time. I had a random conversation with her about wrinkle cream, believe it or not.
Wrinkle cream.
You know, we're getting old, Virgil. We have to put some cream around our eyes. I
thought you were talking about clothes.
Oh, no. Just like trying to cover up the wrinkles, you know, this hard
this
look.
This is pre-Botox shots?
Well, it's with Botox. So we're talking about wrinkle cream, and she just was a delightful person, and I could tell she just had the right heart, and she was nice, and she, and then I, of course, went and stalked her on Instagram, and I was like, golly, and her work's fantastic. And so I just hired her, and then I took her to a small town in the middle of nowhere, and she went with the biggest smile on her face and with so much love in her heart for this family, and it monsooned and she never missed a beat. She didn't ask me where dinner was. She didn't care. She was staying in a Holiday Inn Express, and she was so happy to be there. And what can I shoot for you? Can I come in an hour early and shoot extra details for you? And we had a blast together, and I hire all the time.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I think just be yourself.
Yeah.
And get connected. You got to get connected.
Right.
Meet the planners.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know you, I don't know to hire you.
Right.
Reach out. One of the photographers that probably gets most of my work just drove over to Birmingham one day and brought me a latte. I'm not
from
saying.
From where?
From Atlanta. Two and a half hours.
2.5 hours, yeah.
But you know what? I don't need a latte. But I didn't know him. I'd never met him before. And he shows up at my office with a latte. Well, I couldn't kick him out.
Did he know you were going to be there? I didn't know.
He called and said, I'm in the neighborhood. Can I bring you a latte? Wow. And he wasn't really in the neighborhood.
Nice.
But he showed up 2.5 hours later with a latte.
He probably made an efficient trip and saw other people, maybe friends.
I'm sure he did. I'm going to say he just came over to see me with a latte.
That's awesome.
Who knows? But, you know, I don't say that because I don't think planners need to be wined and dined. I don't think that we need to be gifted, but if I don't know you, I don't know to hire you.
Right.
And so I think that the networking events, the engages of the world, the, you know, the different little organizations. I went on a fam trip recently and met a great photographer that I can't wait to hire. But if, you know, once we work together, then I usually like to continue that relationship.
So how does that work? I mean, just like you said earlier, there's so many of us. There's mm-hmm. so many photographers. I'm sure they're just emailing you, calling you, hitting you up. How do they stand out on that?
Well, I mean, we do get a lot of emails and we do get a lot of phone calls and just like random little images here and there. And their work is usually always good
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, looks great. And I would like to say that I have the time and I have the brain power to remember all the people that do that. And I don't.
Yeah.
I do usually like drag and click them over to a vendor folder just for one day. Maybe I'm going to go back and dig through those. But honestly, it's the personal connection that you make. And so I feel like getting out there and networking. I think 2 years ago, I set the goal out to say, okay, hey, if I'm building this national brand and I have these clients from all over the country, it's now time. All I really want in life is to be friends with other people in the industry. I didn't feel like I had friends all over the country in the industry. And so I just made it my mission that year to go to whatever conferences, to get myself out there, attend whatever I could attend so that I could meet people. Mm-hmm. And it was really probably the turning point in my career. And I had the best year of my life. And I made those connections. So I think a photographer could do the same thing. Just set a year, go meet people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's, we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Oh, Virgil, I think about that every day.
Speaking engagements, workshops.
Yeah, you know, I've got this amazing team and they're incredible. And there's not many, quote, companies that are doing what we're doing with the number, you know, with our group. So I love managing people. Mm-hmm. I would love to tell our story. I would love to tell the story of Marie Aimée and where it came from and where I came from and why we are who we are and why we care as much as we care and what sets us apart. And maybe that story will inspire somebody else to go and live their dream, whether it be in weddings or not. I would love that.
Yeah.
But I probably will be running Marie Aimée forever. So
forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
The last few seconds of mm-hmm. our podcast, I usually just give an opportunity to promote whatever you have to promote, Instagram, website, any workshop that's coming up, any events. So go for it.
Wow. We are, what are we not up to?
So much.
Yeah. We've got a great newsletter that I'm writing on a monthly basis, which I think is fun. It's my avenue to be able to speak my mind and speak my heart from what I've learned about life while in this crazy world of weddings.
I get that email. You write that? That's
yeah,
you?
That's me. Not a that's my writer. Heart. No, that's me. Okay. That's me. And I literally didn't pass sixth grade English. So it's interesting that I'm now writing. I do have an editor. So we're doing that. I'm doing more podcasts and getting out there. But I really, you know, my team is so talented. And I love watching them every day grow as individuals. And I can't wait to watch. We're doing some lifestyle stuff. It's on the horizon, so that's going to be really fun and exciting, and I'm doing a lot with our graphics, and I'm just building this brand, and I'm hoping Marie Aimée is known in every household one of these days, so we'll see.
Maybe you should have a podcast in the next couple months.
Maybe you'll have to teach me how to use these cool microphones.
It's so easy. I'll be more than happy to.
Only if you can be my first guest.
Oh, hey, I'll be there. Okay. I'll drive to Birmingham. That's 6 hours. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram. I have a personal account at Neely B, and that's just my life and juggling as motherhood and balancing work and all the fun things that I'm up to. But then Marie Aimée, of course, it's Marie Aimée _ in between Marie Aimée. And we have our blog, which is really fun, which is on our website,
which is
marieaimée.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and check Neely Butler's website, Marie Aimée, and follow her on Instagram. Sign up for that newsletter. It's really cool. I get it. Is it every week?
Every month.
Every month.
Once I can't write every week.
Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you. We'll talk to you actually next time. Bye. Good job.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You sound so good.
Oh, it's so fun. I love that.
You should definitely, I don't know. I know it's not a lot of work, really. It's super easy as far as the setup. I'll email you all the information if you want to start one. I think you should. You have a lot of experience and knowledge. That voice, I think, it's going to be huge one day.